Ephesians 3 now. Go to Ephesians 3 with me. This is Paul praying for the church at Ephesus, and he prays for us, the church everywhere. And I entitled it Paul's Prayer and Mine. This is my prayer for you and for me, for all of us. And I don't think, well, I know that none of us fully understand the benefit of prayer. And I hesitate to use the word power because religion loves that. There's power in prayer, they say. Hold on then. There's no power in prayer itself, but power is the one we pray to. He has all power. This prayer is just us calling on Him, okay? So in that sense, but prayer is the means that God has told us to use, to call on Him, to exert His power. And prayer is the life breath of believers. If you're married, you talk to your spouse, don't you? If you don't, you're not married. Okay, you talk, you commune with one another. You talk to your children. Prayer is communion with our Father and with Christ. It's the breath of a believer. It comes by this new birth, and you begin to pray. You never did it before. Prayer is communion with our Lord. Prayer is calling on our Lord. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And no one is saved if they don't call on the Lord. Or keep calling. You keep calling. It's not a one-time thing. You keep calling. You keep crying like a baby. Baby keeps crying. You know, I'm a grown man. I didn't grow too much. But I still cry, don't you? I cry to my Father, help me. Help me. So it comes supernatural to God's people. Our Lord said men ought always to pray, didn't he? Not faint, don't ever stop. Well, he didn't hear me. God didn't answer me. He didn't. If you need something bad enough, what are you going to do? Keep calling. Men ought always to pray and not faint, not quit. Always? All the time? You say that's not possible. Well, yes, it is. I know we've got things we do and, you know, we've got to have our mind focused on it. But even at that, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. We need to. Why? Because without Him, we can do nothing, He said. Nothing. We shouldn't want to take a step without Him directing us, should we? Because we're going to stumble. We're going to fall. We're going to fall to temptation, whatever. All right, the Lord said we ought always to pray and pray about everything. I used to think there were things too small that we shouldn't bother our Lord with, you know, things too minor. Well, that's not so. He said, in everything, by prayer and supplication. You remember what Brother Bruce said about that couple want to get a dog? Somebody called him and said they were praying about getting a dog, and he hung up a little while later, and he said, that's foolish. Why pray about a dog? And he said, I started thinking about it. He said, no, it might be a biting dog. You don't want a biting dog. In his language. Prayer about everything. Always. For everyone. For everyone. 1 Timothy 2 says we ought to pray for rulers or presidents, rulers, and on down to the mayor in the town, and everyone, even our enemies. Is that what it said? Our enemies. Now, it might not, praying for our enemies might not change them. The Lord might not break down the enmity in them. And you know what? If you pray for your enemies, you know what it'll do? You know what He'll do to you? He'll break down that enmity in you for them. He'll soften your heart. I'm telling you. I know this from God's Word and from experience. You can't stay mad, too mad. You can't stay too mad at people you're praying for. And it's hard, isn't it? People that have abused you and misused you, it's really hard. Our Lord said, do it. Pray for them that despitefully use you. It's a hard matter to think that the church prayed for Saul of Tarsus, isn't it? Do you reckon anybody was praying for Saul of Tarsus? He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. He wanted everybody dead. Somebody praying for him. And the Lord changed that fellow's heart. And he became their bosom buddy. And they were all so glad. They loved Paul so much. And now here he is in prison, telling them, pray for everybody. He said, I know. I was the enemy. Somebody pray for me. That's good counseling. What do we pray for? Well, Romans 8 says we often don't know what we should pray for. Do we? We don't know. We pray. So what we do pray is, thy will be done. No. Lord, I don't know. I just don't really know. But I want your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we know that His will be done. Well, right here is His will. Right here in these verses, He tells us what God will grant. God's going to do this. You pray for these things, and God will do this. And again, it's like Ephesians 1, these blessings. There's nothing material. Nothing material. Right? It's all spiritual. Spiritual blessings. These are what we need. Give us this day our daily bread, but forgive us. Here's our great need. Forgive us our trespasses. So here's His will. Verse 14, all right? For this cause, He says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't think I would ever bow my knee to a human being. You know, years ago, there used to be powerful kings, and men would literally bow their knee to men. And I don't find that in the scriptures where you should do that. I don't find that. Sadly, tragically, millions bow down before a man in Rome and kiss his ring in his hand. That's sad. That's bondage. It's idolatry. But we should bow down before the Lord our God. We should bend the knee. Now, prayer is both public and private. But it's never... Turn to Matthew 6 with me. Matthew 6. You hear all the time about going to have a citywide prayer meeting and they're all going to meet on the courthouse steps and pray and all that. You know what that's about? It's to be seen of men. And I've seen kids on the front of the high school gathering around before school praying, and then athletes before the game, that right down in front where everybody can see them. They bend down there. What are they doing that for? For everybody to see them. And our Lord said, "Don't do that," didn't He? Look at Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 6. He said this very plainly. Verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrite. That is, they're acting. They're putting on a show. They love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corner of the street, that they may be seen of men. That's their reward. That's why they're praying, for people to see how religious they are. When you pray. Did He mean this? Does He mean it literally? Our Lord meant everything He said. Verse 6, when you pray, get in your closet you shut the door, why do we pray? Who do we want to see us pray? Who do we want to hear us pray? Who are we praying to? God. That's the only one we want to see us praying and hear us pray, isn't it? You men pray, and God has chosen the church. That's His family. You pray with your family, don't you? You men lead in prayer with your family, don't you? You still feel inadequate, don't you, Wesley? You feel inadequate to do it, but the Lord tells us to pray. And that's a family affair. And so is the church. We pray in the context of the church, family. The church and the scripture, they all met together and they prayed. But not out in public. You hear me? Not in restaurants. That's their reward. Look at me. Don't do that. And we pray to our Father in secret. And you reward thee openly. And don't use vain repetitions. Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us poor sinners. Oh, my. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's who we pray to. Don't pray to Saint anyone. We pray to Christ alone. He's the one the Father hears. One mediator between God and men, the man. Not Mary, a woman. The man. Christ Jesus. No, God hears no prayers that go through Mary or St. Christopher or Paul or any of them. Nobody. But God hears all prayers that go through Jesus Christ. And prayer, Paul said in verse 14, I bow my knee. Verse 14. I bend my knee. And brothers and sisters, we don't do this publicly. We don't do it. I was in a meeting one time preaching with several of these Reformed fellows. And the man got up before he, one of them got up and got down behind the pulpit on his knees. And it sickened me. And everybody was so impressed with how sincere he was. Not me. But I would tell you in private, get on your knees. You hear me? Paul said this. He's in prison right now. He's by himself. And he said, I bow my knee. Do you know what? Every knee will. Every knee should. Every knee will. If you're in private, get on your knees. Why? And not always, and we're not heard because we're on our knees. But James said, humble yourself in the sight of God. Humble yourself. What did our Lord do when he went into the garden? What did he do? He fell on his face. I tell you, if you need something bad enough, have you ever been in such a bad state that you fall on your face on the floor, you can't get low enough? You bury your face and your head into that carpet or that floor, begging God to do something. You ever been there? That's what our Lord did. Bow the knee. Should we at least bow our heads? Oh my. The Pharisee went in the temple and lifted up his eyes to heaven. And everybody's so impressed. His hand, look at him. He's praying to God. God's not hearing a word he's saying. The publican, chief of sinners, standing back in the back, he didn't feel worthy to come up front. And all he could do was pound on his chest. And he had his head hanging down. Like that woman who washed our Lord's feet with her tears, the chief of sinners. She's crying because her head is bowed and those tears are flowing over his feet. She has her head down and finally she falls at his feet and wipes her hair with his feet with her hair. Her glory takes that glory down, her plaited hair, and wipes it. I'm a nothing. I'm a no good sinner. Please, Lord, help. Have mercy on me, the sinner. Humbled herself. The feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this cause, Paul said, I to the Father, verse 14, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of Christ. In the garden, our Lord fell on his face, and what did he cry? Father, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Father, he prayed. Pray to our Father. We pray to our Father. How did he tell us to pray? The disciples saw him pray. The disciples saw him pray. The disciples heard him pray. And they heard him pray with such zeal, with such sincerity, with such earnestness. They saw him fall on his face. And they all said, teach us to pray like that. We want to pray like that. We want to pray with such sincerity. We want to be heard. Teach us to pray. What did he say? After this manner, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Pharisee again. Pharisee stood in the temple. God, here I am. I feared my Father, but I wasn't afraid of it. That makes sense? That's the only way you can describe the fear of God. In other words, I had such a respect for him that I just didn't approach him flippantly or carelessly. I knew he loved me. I loved him, and I respected him, and I honored him, and I never called him by his first name. Dad, Father, I asked him for things humbly. Until I became a rebel, you know. Well, he still had mercy on me. Father, Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, where is our Father? Which art in heaven. You need something done, there's no higher place to appeal. No higher place to go, no higher person to go to. You don't need to pray to the Pope. Pray to your Papa. That's what that word means. And Papa, he's not my Father. He's not my Holy Father. Call no man that. But your Father in heaven. None higher. Of whom, verse 15, the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You remember that message? I hope you do. Sons of God, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That we should be called the sons of God. So you know what? If we're the sons of God by faith in Christ, that's how we're the sons of God. As many as received Him. As many as believe on Him. As many as love Him. As many as hope in Christ. As many as Christ died for. As many that the Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and shows you He's your only hope. Those that hope in Christ. You see. He's our hope. That's who the Father is. So, he's our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said here, he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're named after him. Sons of God, we're named after Christ. Christians. How many times, John? Three times in Scripture? Just three times. It's a precious name. I hate that men use it so flippantly and abuse it, and everybody, everywhere, no matter who they are, they call themselves Christian. I hate that. But still, we ought to be grateful. And if we bear that name, we ought to be very thankful. Very thankful. Son of the Most High God, a Christian, a Christ lover, a Christ follower, one for whom Christ died, a Christian. Christian. I like to call it Christian. Are you a Christian? Yeah. By His grace. So he says in verse 16, he says, I pray, here's his prayer. I pray that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, several things. I pray that God would grant you. This is a Bible term. You don't find it anywhere. Men don't use it. The only time you'll hear it is if you apply for a grant. Right? In school. What's that mean? It means a gift that a rich benefactor has set aside to bestow on someone who needs it. That's the gospel. That's grace. By grace you say. Salvation is by grace. It's all a gift that God must grant us. So he prays that God would grant this gift. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. From who? The Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. No matter who goes to him in the name of Christ, no matter how bad a sinner they are, he'll grant it. He'll grant these things. He'll give you these things. Now, tell me if you need these things, okay? Here it is. That God would grant you according to the riches of his glory. What is his glory? To the praise of the glory of his grace. Salvation. All these gifts he's going to ask for is his glory. He's full of them. He's full of this. He's rich. All right, verse 16. That God would strengthen you with might by his Holy Spirit in the inner man. That you would be strengthened in might by the inner man. This is what we need, to be strong in faith, the new man. Strong to believe. And I cannot make this interesting to you. I'm sorry if I've lost you. I can't do it. I'm praying right now as I'm speaking. I'm praying right now. God, please open their eyes and their heart and all this. And this is what we need more than anything. This inner man, we need to be strong in the faith. We need to believe God. We need to believe Christ. We need to hope and rest and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't, we're going to hope and rest and trust in somebody else. If we're not strong in the faith, we're going to be torn all to pieces. We're not going to have any peace, not going to have any joy, not going to have any wisdom, not going to have any strength. Lord God, please, grant us that we be strong in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, that this new man within us will be strong and overcome this old man. All through this epistle and the next epistle and the next epistle, he talks about an old man. He's been around a while and he's strong. The flesh lusts against the spirit. You can't do the things that you would. You're trying right now to listen to me and you're having a hard time of it. Why? That's that old man. And there's a new man. It needs to be strong to listen, strong to hear, strong in the faith. Where does it come from? Faith cometh how? Hearing. Lord God, please. This old man. And he's in chapter 4, look at verse 22. Put off this old man. Put him off, this old man. Be renewed. Put on the new man over and over. We need this inner man, this new man, to grow strong. We need this new man to grow strong. We need this old man to grow weak. You're weak right now. You're having a hard time. Where's it come from? Why did Paul have this faith? He's in prison. He's beaten with stripes. How did he get through this? How are you going to get through your trials and not be overcome by it? Where's it come from? God. How do you get it? You ask. Well, how does he send it? Through the Word. It's the power of God and faith. Faith goes strong. We need it. All of God's people are going to go through tough trials. And without him, you can't bear it. Please, Lord. Make me strong in the faith. I'm so weak. Am I weak? Who's weak and I'm not weak? Oh. Now he doesn't tell us to ask for anything physical, does he? Most of us have more than we need materially, don't we? Nearly everybody in here is rich and increased with goods. If you have a refrigerator full of food, you're a rich person. If you have more than one suit of clothes, you're a rich person. Right? If you you have a shelter over your head, you're a rich person. And most of us have more than we need materially, but much less than we need spiritually. How much faith do you have? God sent a plague, a germ, and it tore people all to pieces. How much faith do we have? How much love do we have? You need some more love? Do you need your love for this world to wane and your love for God to increase? Where does that come from? It's a gift. Yeah. Paul loved God more than life itself. Where did you get that? He didn't drum it up. He didn't conjure it up. He didn't strive to love. He kept calling, Lord, please. Love, joy. You know, the joy of the Lord, your strength. Where does that come from? Not by might. Not by power, but how? By my Spirit, said the Lord. Our Lord said this, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Father give what? The Holy Spirit to them that ask. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, in these poor hearts of ours, kindle a flame of sacred love, and that will kindle ours. Look how we grovel here below, fond of these earthly toys. And our souls, how heavily they go to reach eternal joys. In vain we strive to bring our songs up. Where is it going to come from? Pray without ceasing. For this cause, Paul said, I bow my knees that God would grant you. He's got it. He's rich in it. And he loves to give it. Ask. Don't quit asking. Keep asking. Right now, ask. Ask. Look at this in our text. He said that God would grant you, that verse 17, Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith. You know, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Know ye not your own selves how Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really need Jesus Christ? Huh? Do you really? Our Lord asked Peter one thing after all that Peter had done. Simon Peter, after he denied the Lord, after he reverted right back to being an old cussing fisherman and fell so terribly, but I tell you this, Peter, when he heard somebody say, tell my disciples, and Peter, but he couldn't get to Christ fast enough. He couldn't get to the worship service fast enough. He heard the disciples were back worshiping again, and he couldn't get there fast enough. That's how you know. And our Lord asked him one question, three times. One question. Peter, do you believe in sovereign election? You didn't ask him that. Simon, Peter, do you believe in the depravity of the... you didn't ask him that. Simon, son of Jonah, son of Adam, sinner that you are, lovest thou me more than thee? Do you really? Who do you need more, Simon Peter? Who do you need more than your family and even and everything and everyone? Who, Simon Peter? Who do you really love, man? He said, you know I do. That's love. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. If you love somebody, they're in your heart. They're on your mind, aren't they? If you don't, they won't be. Oh, if you don't have this, I'm asking the Lord right now for you. Lord, grant this. Grant this. See, I want to know. That's what Paul said. I want to know him. You know what it means to know? As Adam knew his wife, Eve, they became one. He entered into her. He planted his seed in her.
and life came. And they were, these two were one flesh, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, he called her, and she him. I want to know Christ. I want to be such so vitally joined to the Lord Jesus Christ that I can't go a day without thinking about him. Don't you? Ask. Ask. Faith, hope, and love for Christ. My mind, my affection set on things above. I tell you, I've become a man. I was a child. I'm now a man. I want to be done with these childish things. Don't you? I want to be done with a childish attitude. I want to be a man in attitude, a child in spirit, that is, in malice and so forth. Don't you? Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you, verse 17, look at this, that you being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded, settled, fixed, established, unmoved, rooted and grounded and settled, so that the greatest stormy wind may blow and you won't be moved. I'm not going anywhere. Come hell or high water, I'm not going anywhere. Like Martin Luther, one man. Brothers, I said, I can't preach without. I want the zeal of God's house to eat me up every time I come in here. I want it for you as well as me preaching. I want you. I want me. I want us to be zealous for the things of God. Our affection set on things. I want you and me in the midst of this perverted generation to stand for the truth like Martin Luther and say, here I stand. I can do no other. I think about William Tyndale and others, or so many. I'd love to die like that, wouldn't you? I've been such a coward. I've been such a... So we are going to have to go through a fiery trial. How are we going to bear up under? Every one of God's people, all through the fire, and all by the blood. How are we going to bear up under? Faith. And it's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Rooted. I'm not going anywhere. Well, she offended me. Well, she's a sinner. She's human. I'm human. I'm not going anywhere. Rooted, grounded, settled, fixed. Did you hear what happened over here? No, I didn't. Well, let me tell you about it. Well, I don't care. I'm grounded. Every wind of doctrine that comes along. Here's something new. Look, they've discovered that there's life in another galaxy somewhere. Well, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going there. There's life in Christ. That's what I need, where I need to be. I need to be where he is with his people all the time. And my one desire is I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire into his temple. That's where I want to be. Grounded. Look at this with me. I love this. I sent it to you one time as a scripture verse. 2 Peter, look at this. 2 Peter, the last part of this. 1 Peter, I'm sorry. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, look at this. Every eye. If you want to be strengthened, if you want faith, look at this. Rooted and grounded, look at this. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. Now, the God of all grace. You need everything, and it's all by grace. And he has it all. Comfort, he has it all. Peace, he has it all. Who hath called us? How's that? By the gospel. What has he called us to? Eternal glory. We were talking last night about dying. We do it quite often. I'm nearly 70 years old. It'd be wise, wouldn't it, to consider our latter end? Some of you are way past that, living on borrowed time. Wouldn't it be wise to constantly be thinking about that? Wouldn't it? We're going to our long home from whence there's no return. We don't polish brass on a sinking ship. And we were talking about it last night. And where are we going? Glory. Glory. Why should we dread the best thing that could possibly happen to us? so glorious, our Lord told us and promised that the former things won't be remembered to come to mind. How are we going to get there? By Jesus Christ. Read it. Keep reading. Verse 10. Eternal glory by Christ Jesus, with Him in glory, after you've suffered a while. See that? This is what it's going to take. After you've suffered a while, He'll make you perfect. That is, mature. Put away childish things. Toys. Establish you in the faith. Strengthen. Settle you. Are you settled on the truth? Are you settled? Are you? Is this thing settled? Is your heart fixed? David one time said, my heart's fixed. He one time was broken. My mind was broken. Corrupt. It's fixed now. I got a fixation on Him. Fixed. Turn with me in your Gatsby hymn. If I had one, I'd turn. Somebody in the Gatsby hymn, number 295. Is God going to cause us to grow in grace and knowledge of Him? How's He going to do it? Look at this. 295, you have it? This will bless you. John Newton. You know what that man went through? I asked the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of His salvation know and seek more earnestly His face. It was He who taught me thus to pray, and He, I trust, has answered my prayer. But it's been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hoped that in some favored hour, at once He'd answer my request, and by His love and constraining power, subdue my sins and give me rest. Instead of this, He made me feel the hidden evils of my heart, and let the angry powers of hell assault me on every part. Yea, more, with His own hand He seemed intent to aggravate my woe. He crossed or messed up my fair designs I schemed, and blasted my gourds and laid me low. Are you reading that? Lord, I said, why is this? I trembled, cry. Will You pursue this worm to death? It is in this way, the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ from self and pride to set you free and break your schemes of earthly joy that you may seek your all in me. Lord, give me grace, all right, I'm sending you a trial. Lord, give me strength. What do you need strength for except a trial? Overcoming faith. Overcome what? Trial. Faith. The world. Here's the trial I'm going to send you. I'm going to give you all the riches this world has. It overcomes most people. And they end up leaving the gospel for things. That's the greatest trial that's going on right now in the church. Rich and increased with goods and have need, heartfelt, all-consuming desire for Jesus Christ and to know Him. And these things make Him a part-time pursuit. I'm telling you the truth. These are the last days. And this is the greatest trial that God sends. Prosperity makes you forget God. It happened to Israel. It happened to God, please don't let Satan entice me with these things. I'm such a weak sinner. Please set my affection on things above, not on things of heaven. This is all we desperately need. Desperately need to hear this. All right, read on. Go back to the text. Paul says, I pray to God that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. I really need another hour, but I'm not going to do it. Don't worry. One time, Paul preached all night long. The people were so hungry to hear. Oh, he said, I want us to be able to comprehend, understand something with all the saints. All the saints comprehend something. What's the breadth, the length, the depth, and height to know, really enter into the love of Christ. Sufficient it is. I'm going to talk about the love of God. He said it passes knowledge. Let me tell you something about the sun, the bright sun. Can I describe the sun for you? Well, it's hot. Come close. Well, it's bright. You can't look. I can't describe the sun. Let me tell you about the power of lightning, thunder, ocean in all its fullness. The depth of the ocean. Let me tell you, I've never been there. You can't fathom it. When we talk about the love of God, the person of God, the glory of God, it can't be declared. Passive knowledge. Can't really comprehend it. But we can know something of it. Something of it. Oh, the love of God. Oh, the love of God. Measureless. Strong. He says here in verse 18, the breadth of the love of God. Breadth. Did you ever, your children, when they were little children, I've preached a while now, I'm going to tell you something. I've lost you now, I'll gain you back, maybe. Your little children, did you ever say, how much do you love me? What'd you do? This much. Did you do that? Meaning, I can't reach far enough to show you, wide enough to show you how great my love is for you. I can't declare it. Oh, God commendeth his love. How great is God's love? How wide? How inclusive? While you were yet sinners, while you shook your face, your fist in God's face, while you spit on him, why you never gave him a thought, why you never called on him, you never thanked him for one thing. He loved you. That's incomprehensible, isn't it? How wide do you love him? How inclusive is it? How inclusive is it? You know, I think about that ark. Here it is. Our God's love takes in all kinds. All kinds. That ark of Noah. You know this happened. They all got on that ark, and Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You know, Noah went out, and here he brings in a skunk. A skunk and his mate. You know what they said. Don't you? Don't bring him in here. We don't need him. Surely you're not going to include him. Oh, yes. How bad a sinner are you? You're more than a stinker, I can tell you that. If God ever gives you a whiff of yourself, you know what you'll say? In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Maybe the angel said, not him. Not her. She's been nothing but a harlot all her life. Still plays a harlot. Yep. That's who he came for. That's who he's going to get great glory for. Yes. Yes. Worm. What about a worm? You need a worm? Who needs a worm? How wide? How inclusive is it? The length of it. The breadth. The length. The length. Oh, how far reaching. How far will he go? How far, how long does his love last? Everlasting. Far reaching. The length of it. His arm is not short. Modern religion says God wants to save you and can't. That means his arm's too short. He can't get you. Buddy, I was down in a pit, and I cried, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Thou hast, and he raised me up and brought me up out of a horrible pit. Who did it? He did it, because his arm's not short. Out of the depths, verse 18. Oh, the length, the depths, that means how profound it is, how deep it is, how unfathomable it is. How do I know modern religion is false? Because it's so shallow. What they say about God, what they say about sin, what they say about salvation is just an offer. It's just something he did, and whoever wants can have. That's shallow. That's not the gospel. Oh, the depth of the riches, of the glory and the power of God, the depth of his mercy. Depth of mercy can there be? Mercy still reserved for me. Me, the chief of sinners, forbear. Oh, the depth that our Lord went to rescue his people out of the muck, out of the mire, out of the dung heap. You know, true love, true faith is deep. It's in the heart, not in the head. It's in the heart, rooted deep. And the height. Oh, the depth and oh, the height. Do you remember when you fell in love with your husband or your wife, that you remember how your heart soared to great heights? You couldn't even function. You were walking 2 feet off the ground. Do you remember that? You couldn't travel far enough. You know, I climbed the highest mountain and I swam the deepest sea to get to me. I really did. I went without sleep for days, didn't I? I really did. To get to her. I love it. We soared a great height. I don't think we understand. Do you remember when you first heard the gospel? Do you remember? You were so excited. You had ran home to tell everybody. What about now? Has the gospel changed? Shouldn't it lift our hearts and souls high? Shouldn't it lift our voices and our praise to him high? Do you know how high our Lord's going to take us? You know how high this love of God is going to take us? All the way to the throne of God himself. Give you an illustration. That thief on the cross. He was the lowest of humanity. He started out low, and he just kept getting lower. Till he was as low as the scum on the earth. He killed, he stole, he never did one thing good to anybody. Till he's living in darkness, he's living in the gutter. And finally he's dying a painful death on a Roman cross. And everybody's going to forget about him forever, gladly so. But God, with one look, with one prayer, Lord, the next thing he knows, he's seated with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Solomon, and Rahab, and Lydia in the throne of heaven with Jesus Christ. The next thing he knows, he's seated in the heavens. How high? Oh, the height that this love's going to take you. The height. Oh, that we might comprehend. Now, verse 20, unto him that's able. He's able to take this poor message and do something with it. You know that? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And it's all according to the power of his word, his gospel that works in us. Oh, Lord, use it. Unto him. Stand with me. Stand with me. This will be our prayer. This will be our closing hymn, okay? Read it with me. Everybody, the last verse 21. Read it with me. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ. Throughout all ages, world without end.